This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The Supreme Court today ruled against Colorado's ban on conversion therapy. An Illinois lawmaker, though, says the state will not be affected. Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy was behind Illinois' 11-year-old ban on that practice. It attempts to change a person's gender or sexual identity, and it's often used in religious settings. Cassidy calls the decision cruel, but says Illinois' ban will largely remain untouched. She also says the decision does not impact groups like the American Medical Association or the American Academy of Pediatrics. Those groups have debunked the practice of conversion therapy. They refuse to administer it. Today is International Transgender Day of Visibility. The holiday marks trans and gender nonconforming people and their right to self-determination. Sean and Lynn Parker is CEO of the LGBTQ plus civil rights organization called Equality Illinois and says the day should be important to everyone.
Remember that every last one of us who experience a marginalized identity, somebody wants us to be invisible. So whether you're trans or not, you understand the importance of visibility.
Parker was speaking with our In the Loop program. The finalists for this year's James Beard Awards have been announced, and three Chicago chefs are on the shortlist. My colleague Courtney Kipper reports Monteverde executive chef Bailey Sullivan is a finalist for the Nationwide Emerging Chef Award, and she was at this morning's announcement in the River North neighborhood.
I am beyond thrilled. This has been a dream for me since I was a little girl, so to be living this moment is absolutely surreal, crazy.
Sullivan is a native of West Suburban LaGrange and started as a line cook at the West Loop Italian restaurant in 2016. Chicago also has two finalists in the Regional Best Chef Great Lakes category, including Norman Fenton of Carino and Jacob Potashnik of Feld. And students at Sidney Sawyer Elementary School in Chicago's Gage Park neighborhood now have a fleet of 24 bicycles. Attorneys from the law firm Motorcycle Safety Lawyers helped raise money for a nonprofit called All Kids Bike, and that group donated these bicycles. The law firm says it works with underprivileged schools who have the space to teach a bicycle education program. Moises Jimenez is the dean of students at the school.
Every kid should learn how to ride a bike safely. They actually provide a curriculum for us to teach, so we're looking forward to instilling this every year into our curriculum.
The kids will learn to ride using the balance bike method. They'll focus on balance and steering first without using the pedals. You're listening to The Rundown. A Chicago man convicted of laundering cocaine funds remains a major player in Illinois' state-regulated cannabis industry. David Berger was found guilty late last year for aiding a Mexican cocaine trafficking ring back in 2021. But he's still closely associated with a network of weed dispensaries that operate in Chicago and Illinois under the name Ivy Hall. Sun-Times Watchdog reporter Frank Main joined my colleague Claire Lane to break down that situation.
So talk us through Berger's role in the cocaine trafficking ring.
So strangers would come to his door in Ukrainian Village with tens of thousands of dollars in cash. Most of that in $100 bills. It was fastened with rubber bands. And Berger used his American Express card to book charter flights. Then he would break down the piles of cash that came to his house into smaller ATM deposits, and they were put into his Chase account. And each one of these deposits was under $10,000 to dodge federal reporting requirements, according to prosecutors. And that's what the feds call money laundering. And in all, prosecutors say he made about 135 transactions totaling about $314,000.
I think I've heard that term before, money laundering. So he was just a sort of a middleman in all of this.
Well, that's what prosecutors say. They say he booked flights through a Miami charter company that was run by a childhood friend of his. And they say the idea was to secretly use drug money to rent jets for cocaine traffickers without the banks or authorities finding out about it. But in court, his lawyer portrayed him as a legitimate businessman with a long resume in energy and cannabis consulting. He held a position with Invenergy, which is a renewable energy firm. at the time that he was committing these supposed crimes. And his lawyer said Berger worked as a bank teller in his youth in Northbrook, and he had an experience navigating financial systems.
So he's played a few roles in his life, different professions. What is his role in the cannabis industry here in Illinois?
Well, he remains licensed to sell marijuana in Illinois. He's associated in business records with 10 dispensaries, the maximum number a company can have. In 2022, he was shoulder to shoulder with Governor Pritzker when they announced one of the first equity dispensaries. The state officials won't say which dispensaries he has licenses for. They're pointing to confidentiality provisions in the state law.
And talking about licenses, is it legal in Illinois to operate under a cannabis license if you have a prior conviction?
Well, it's interesting because when the Pritzker administration took over, they moved away from denying licenses to convicted felons. But we talked to State Representative LaShawn Ford, who sponsored a 2021 law that it gave priority to people who were applying for cannabis licenses when they had convictions for low-level marijuana offenses. But even he draws a line at these serious criminal convictions. And so discipline can mean anything from a suspension to revoking a license, but that can only happen after someone's sentenced. So in Berger's case, his effort to get his conviction thrown out is, for all intents and purposes, blocking that at the moment.
And quickly, Frank, what happens next?
If his conviction gets overturned, the state probably won't do anything to his license. But if he's sentenced, the state will probably file a complaint seeking some sort of discipline, like I mentioned, involving his cannabis license. But that decision seems many months away.
That's Sun-Times Watchdog reporter Frank Main. He's been keeping an eye on the story of David Berger. Weather, a breezy, warm, and rainy day, a high near 70 degrees. Tonight, more showers, maybe a thunderstorm, a low in the upper 30s. And Wednesday, cloudy and cooler, more showers, high in the low 40s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.